Hello and welcome to the Trail Provides podcast. My name is Johanna and this is episode number 4. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining. Whether this is your first time or you have been here before, I really appreciate it. So today I want to discuss how the trail provides doubt, self-doubt in particular. And I think time on trail, whether you are doing a day hike or a multiple day backpacking trip, a section hike or a through hike, whatever the context you're in, it is likely that at some point you will experience doubt. And I think doubt can show up in many different forms. Can I do it? Have I planned accordingly? Am I capable enough to do this? All of these doubts make their presence known. Today, I want to focus in on one particular type of doubt, which is the doubt around continuing on. And I think obviously this will show up mostly in long distance hiking, but I think it can even show up in a day hike, whether or not to do the full circuit or to cut it short, or whether to carry on trying to summit the mountain that you've considered and that you've planned for, or whether to just turn back. I want to spend some time talking about that. The doubt to carry on in this journey that you've started. And I want to discuss it because on a long distance hike, you've spent many months more than likely planning for something like this. And even if you're just out for a few days, you may have spent hours planning the route. So when doubt shows up and you're starting to question whether you should carry on, it can feel really frustrating and threatening. You know, it's like, is this going to get in the way of me achieving what I set out to do? And often the want with doubt is to try and get it out the way, you know, like push it aside, which I think is sometimes really necessary and really helpful. But I'm not sure that doubt is always a terrible thing to have out on trail. I think it can be a real opportunity to stop and pause and to make sure that what you are doing is still right for you. Rather than charging on and carrying on and assuming that doubt is this terrible thing, perhaps we can reframe what doubt could be, what it offers us. And I want to question today the bad reputation that doubt has on trail. And I want to bring in some of my own experiences from that and consider how this may affect our lives off trail. Because everything that we're feeling and that we experience on trail is transposable to our life off trail. And boy, does doubt show up in life, generally speaking. Before we start with that, I want to share a reflection that I've had recently about my motivation for doing this podcast. And for those of you who have listened to the first and second episode, or maybe all three, I've shared in detail why I'm here and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that is, I want to motivate people to get outside. I want to motivate people to spend time in the outdoors, spend time on trail, because I think the trail offers an incredible amount of wisdom and teaching for all of us and access points to our humanity in ways that perhaps we might not experience if we don't spend time in the outdoors. But in thinking about that over the last few days, I've realized that there's another reason I'm here. And that is, I love stories. For me, this is how we learn more about who we are and where we've come from than I think any source of expression. I think about our ancestors sitting around campfires, exchanging stories, exchanging ideas, and the learning that can take place from that, in some cultures around the world, even now, this routine, this tradition of elders telling stories from their own lives to the younger generations in an attempt to encourage, to inspire, and to teach them. And I've always loved stories. I loved hearing stories from people. I love listening to their motivations for doing things or why they've chosen that path in life. And in large part, that's what I see as my role as a psychotherapist. I'm listening to people's stories and I'm spending time with them, assisting and supporting them in navigating through them, through their own lives, through their choices, facilitating that so they can make better decisions. And within the hiking community, I feel the same. I'm so interested in terms of what has inspired people to be out on trail. What's got them off the couch and doing a through hike? What's got them off the couch and has encouraged them to go camping that day? Who are they? What is the motivation? What's their continued motivation when they're doing it time and time and time again? And what are their struggles in that? And I think that's why vlogs are so popular. People that video their time out on the CDT, the PCT, the AT. So many people tune into those videos. And I think it's because we get to witness a person's vulnerabilities in those moments, especially in an incredibly challenging type of experience like a through hike. But I often find sometimes that even in vlogs, the stories themselves are sculpted in such a way where the vulnerabilities are kind of hidden. And I don't know whether that's just because the person making them is wary about sharing that, which is completely understandable being made so public, or whether it's because their mind is elsewhere and they're focusing on other things. Sometimes on vlogs, I miss seeing the struggle. It's so beautiful to see people summit and nail those miles and get to town and eat something delightful after eating backpacking food for days on end. I love seeing that. But I love seeing that in connection to the larger story of what keeps them going. Those moments where everything falls apart inside their own mind, or they get a phone call from home which pretty much tears them apart. And there are some creators out there who I really admire for sharing aspects of their lives that are so personal. And it inspires me more when I hear them. You start to care about them as individuals. You don't know them. You're just watching their videos, but you really start to care about their journey. And I'm not interested in just the highlights of life. You know, I think that's the summits and the great food and the glamour, like even aspects of the dirt and the grime of trail feels like in some vlogs is portrayed in the best way possible. And I sometimes felt when I was on the PCT that that was mirrored on trail. I sometimes found it was hard to connect to certain people. And of course it is, because we don't get along with everyone. And maybe that was for different reasons. Maybe it was just my personality. Maybe it was my age, my culture. But I did find that the people that I did connect to and I responded to with more ease were the ones who were open instantly about their struggles out on trail, because it encouraged me to reciprocate. And I think the trail community is changing in that way. And I see people starting to open up in ways, maybe creators that have been going on for, have been doing this for years, like, and God bless them. Like, they are so inspiring that they've continued to do what they're doing. But I see the emphasis somehow shifting for them, and that they're more willing and open to share who they are and their struggles. I know there's larger discussion around in certain aspects of the trail community now about burnout, especially with creativity and aspects of backpacking burnout, which I really appreciate. And I love hearing about that. Not because I'm a Debbie Downer, but because it's like, yeah, let's have this discussion. Let's talk about the realness of what it is to be out on trail. And for many of these creators, being out on trail consistently. So I think stories are so important. And I believe that stories are important because it allows us to see trail life as it is. And I think that encourages people more. It encourages people because they think, well, that is doable. And for so long as well, many of the origin stories that I heard from hikers, specifically through hikers, their origin stories were so different from my own. You know, they were sports people. They had a history of competing in triathlons or marathons, or perhaps people who'd spent years in the military. And I couldn't relate to this. I understood it. And again, it wasn't any less inspiring. And I understood the leap from where they came from there to a through hike. And I totally get it. But this wasn't my life. And so for me, with time and the more people who I've heard speak up about their motivations for being in the mountains, I realized that there are so many other origins, so many other stories out there. And I started to feel more connected to the community, which is really important to me because I'm over here in the UK. So I have a kind of peculiar relationship with the trail community. You know, in the UK, we don't really have a trail community like you have in the US. And obviously, the US trail community is very changeable and variable. It depends on which trail you're talking about. The PCT community, hiking community, or trail community is different from the AT, and the AT is different from the CDT, and the CDT is different from the CT, and so on. I get that. But the trail communities, as far as I can see within the US, are very definable and they're very unique in that way, at least as someone not from the US. But I still feel this camaraderie with the PCT trail community in particular, having spent so long out on trail. And it's been really important to me to stay connected to it, because it helps me stay inspired, it helps me stay motivated and eager to return to the trail. And I wanted to share this because I realized that this is also a reason to do this for me, this podcast, is to share my stories. Because I want to encourage people of all ages, all backgrounds, all fitness levels, or cultures to get outside and experience trail life. And I think a way to do that is by sharing our stories so people can recognize it is accessible as long as you want it bad enough. The other thing I want to mention, like this is now connecting back to doubt, but when we think of the concept of doubt, and like I said many moments ago, we may think of this as an intrusion. And I've heard other hikers describe maybe doubt or other types of experiences as a negative emotion. Now, I totally get where they're coming from, but from my perspective in the job that I do as a psychotherapist, I find that really frustrating. this idea of negative emotions. Now, I understand what they're meaning because they have a goal, they got a job to do, they got the miles to crack. The doubt's just getting in the way. And I want to get out of this headspace. I want to feel more hopeful, more positive. I want to crack on. And I think that probably represents a very necessary sports person way of thinking about things. Because you are there to get shit done, and doubt has no place here. But this is not me. This isn't where I come from, and this is not how I think about doubt. So when I was on the PCT, I started to feel doubt creep in really early on. I think it was about mile 90 to 100. And I'd been very headstrong at that point around what I was doing and why I was there. But the doubt started to creep in, and I look back now and I realize the doubt was there in large part because of the context within which I was hiking the trail, the larger global context. So it was 2020, which feels really, really long ago and also feels like yesterday. And the world was incredibly uncertain. But what I was finding is that the trail towns that I had assumed were there to be relied on and that I could rely on for a source of support, for access to supplies, for even the moments where I wanted to get a room and take a shower and sleep in a bed, were not there. So this big piece of what I had planned for and had become accustomed to knowing about wasn't there in the way that I assumed it would be. So I was getting to trail towns, as everyone was at that point on trail in that year, with a recognition that we may not be able to resupply here because the shelves were completely empty or mostly empty. And they were empty not because of hikers, but because of the locals in those towns, because they were understandably freaked out. They didn't know when they were going to run out of things because the world looked like it was going to hell in a handbasket. And they were very aware of maybe stocking up on food in case the delivery started, the delivery stopped happening. So I completely understand that. But it meant that getting to trail towns was quite uncomfortable and really quite frightening. And I started to recognize that with time, the trail town experience would not necessarily be what I'd also planned for. Now, I had not necessarily a clue, but I had watched enough vlogs and I'd watched enough videos to get a guess, to get a gauge of what it was likely going to be. And it wasn't that. And there were so many people in trail towns at that point who were willing to help hikers. They were so kind and they were doing everything possible they could to support the people on trail. And I really thank the people in the trail towns, especially at that time, for being open to receiving hikers, because there was a lot of mixed messages out there and there was a lot of assumptions made about people. And I think there was an encouragement maybe online and an encouragement in the narrative to demonize people who stayed on trail, which was a real shame. Because as somebody who had come from the UK, I didn't have the capacity to get off trail. And I think that's what I became really aware of. Like, a lot of the people that I was meeting on trail who were continuing on were also people from Europe or different parts of the world. And they couldn't just go, okay, well, I'll just go home, because you were sort of trapped on trail in a sense. You know, the airports were locked down, the flights had stopped. So you didn't have the capacity to just go back to family. And there were also the details around if you could get a flight, if that suddenly became available, what that then would mean, because of all the closures and all of the difficulties when countries were locked down and locked down in different ways. So I felt very sad by this all or nothing type of discussion. And I felt really sad at the time and confused by this good bad categories that were being thrown at people, because it was a lot more complicated than that. And gratefully, most everyone that I met in trail towns knew that and could recognize that, and they saw the nuance and they did everything they possibly could to help, whether that was offering rides to people who were hitchhiking and trying to do it in a safe way, or offering supplies from a distance and leaving money. You know, it was all really trying. It was a creative approach often for hikers and individuals who were still trying to make a living in their trail towns. So I really appreciate that. And I will always appreciate that. I'll always appreciate the response that we got, the hikers of 2020, from the trail towns. So thank you to anyone who's listening, who was around at that point and who was able and willing to do what they could, because it wasn't easy for anyone by any stretch of the imagination. But even with all of that, it was becoming evident that perhaps a creative approach, at least from my perspective, needed to be implemented in order to know that I felt safe and secure in order to carry on hiking. Like, for me, it felt the most obvious place to stay, but I needed some way of restructuring it. If I wasn't going to be able to resupply on trail and trail towns, how could I organize this? So this sort of doubt really started to creep in, and I remember feeling bombarded in many ways also by other people's doubt. And that was probably the most difficult part to come into contact with, because there was so much uncertainty and there was so much panic. People were leaving trail left, right and center, and they weren't just leaving trail. They were doing it. It almost felt like when you interacted with them, there was this kind of tornado-like response, where it's like, I've got to go. You know, there was this panicked type of sensation. And I think for many other hikers, myself included, that was not, that was a really difficult thing to be in contact with. So this left me feeling like I was in a bit of a pickle, because it's already a very uncertain type of experience to have. You know, hiking the Pacific Crest Trail is not easy. And when some of those anchor points like trail towns or grocery stores or hotels or whatever, they're not necessarily positioned where you assume they would be, it can start to make the whole experience feel really, really rocky. And I was finding that my doubt was getting louder, and it was getting louder by the minute. And what I also realized is I didn't want to spend time with any other hikers. This was also really odd, because in many ways, there was relief in seeing hikers, because by this point, no one was on trail. It was pretty much deserted. So I was going days without seeing anyone. So occasionally I would see people. But when I did, I felt worse, because I was encountering their own sense of doubt or judgment. That was the other thing, is of like, if you get off trail, you're kind of like a failed through hiker or something. And it's like, it just felt too all or nothing. So I was, in moments where I did meet people, I almost craved being alone again. And I think looking back now, I needed that space to be alone, to try to navigate this doubt because I knew it was screaming at me. I knew it was yelling at me, but I also knew it was really useful information to have, because ignoring the doubt felt a bit foolish. It felt like trying to push it out the way at that point didn't work for me. And I knew there was so many things that I perhaps needed to consider that I hadn't considered, because there was no way to consider them prior to this experience, that this doubt was really cluing me into that. So with all of this chaos and all of this noise, and it felt like even though I was in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the wilderness, I was still consumed by noise. And it was hard to know what to do. And I actually came to the decision gratefully after a trail angel, a couple of trail angels, one of whom I've stayed very close friends with. And these were not trail angels who were known on the Pacific Crest Trail. They were individuals who reached out in this moment. It was like, anyone that needs to step off the trail for a second to get a sense of what the hell they're going to do next, you know, you have a place to stay. And I took that opportunity. And once I decided to do that, everything felt easier. My days out on trail felt better. I felt less consumed by all of this noise. So I actually came off trail for a bit. And I used that opportunity to reestablish, like, how am I going to do this? First of all, do I want to go back out on trail? And I decided, yes, absolutely. After about 3 or 4 days of being off, I was like, I'm going back. And then second of all, how am I going to do this? So I look after myself, so I look after other people, and I can keep doing what I know is right and move forward. And I actually did that a couple of other times. I sort of paused and gave myself some space to think. And I actually used, in this particular instance, my friend as an anchor point. So, okay, all of these other anchor points are disappearing before my eyes. So this individual who I now am learning to trust is going to become my anchor point. And they were open to that possibility. And that, I was so grateful for that, because it was an experience that I hadn't planned for. I'd never expected that my time out on trail would look like that, would be shaped like that. But the opportunity to spend time with my doubt, first of all, to be moved by my doubt in such a way where I could listen to it and act upon it in a way that felt helpful, and then to sit with it long enough to know what I needed to do next and how to make those adjustments. And after I made that decision, after I came off the first time off trail, I never had any doubt again about whether I wanted to carry on. It never came up. And not in the same way, not in the volume that it did. And that was really interesting to me, because it made me reframe some of my doubt before the trail, and it's made me think about my doubt since the trail in a very different way. That so often we assume that one of two things needs to happen if we have doubt. We either need to stop what we're doing immediately and just like pack it in and just forget about it, or we have to push through. And both can feel maybe quite impulsive and really necessary. And I think absolutely either option may, especially with the perseverance side of it, may work better for some people. But I think most of the time when I'm hearing people talk about doubt, it makes the most sense to pause. And a lot of the time in that pause, what we need to do is listen to ourselves. Because in moments of doubt, those are the times where we go, what do you think? What would you do in this situation? We're seeking out the advice from other people. And again, I'm not suggesting or proclaiming that we shouldn't seek out advice, because I think advice in measured amounts is really helpful. But I think in moments of doubt, if we could sit more with ourselves and listening to it, we could maybe get access to the adjustments that we know we need to make in order to make the goal, the direction, the movement more aligned with perhaps what we need and for it to work for us. And they say, hike your own hike. Don't be swayed by other people. And I'm so happy I wasn't, because I felt like when I was on trail, I had two options. If I quit, I was a failure, like either quitting or pushing on. And neither option sat well for me. It's like, no, it's not either of those two. It was something completely unique and something that allowed me to connect with an individual that I'm now, you know, I consider one of my good friends. I say this, I bring this up as an episode because I don't like always that doubt gets a bad reputation. I think it's always like so many emotions, an invitation to go inwards and to listen and to understand what it is you need, to understand what it is you want. And if what you want is to just persevere and like knuckle down and get it done, then absolutely do it. But don't ignore the doubt in the process. And don't assume always, I think we would be unwise to assume that it's a negative emotion, that somehow we have to just push it out the way and get on with it. I don't believe that. And don't assume that we have to just sideswipe it and forget about it, because I think it's going to show up like a lot of emotions. Like if we don't really understand it, or we don't really listen to it, it will show up in other ways. And it may show up louder, or it may show up in terms of an injury. It's going to show up. So if it does, and if it does show up on trail or in life off trail, if you're in the midst of something and you're pursuing a goal and you get that thunder of doubt, which inevitably you will, because that will happen. Inevitably, we all will at some point. Listen to it. You don't need to act on it straight away. You don't need to make any rash decisions, but listen to what it's telling you. What, if any, adjustments could you make to make the process manageable, different, more interesting, more inspiring? And I think for me, that's a much healthier way of interacting with doubt. I didn't feel it at the time when I was out on trail. I was just pissed off, really. I was pissed off for the first few days that it was even there, because I had something to do here. You know, I was in the midst of something very important that I'd been planning for so long. But there was also so much other stuff going on in the world that was completely out of my control. And I had to adapt to it. And that is like one of the biggest lessons of the trail. And I hear so many people saying this, that if it teaches you anything, it teaches you adaptability. And what a remarkable thing to take with you into life. The opportunity to be able to sit with your doubt and adapt accordingly, rather than to give up, give in, or push through and hurt yourself emotionally or physically. Like, that's a real gift. So I really thank the trail that it provided me the opportunity to encounter my doubt in that way. Even though it was hard, and even though it came up really soon on the trail, I'm happy that it did, because it then meant that I could hike my own hike. And I look back with that experience, to that experience, with no regrets.